Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Zayin. We begin about 10 lines from the top with the words Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef Amar Rav Yochanan, and he said the following: Hayotzei betalis mekufeles. If you go out with a folded garment, Rashi explains that talis mekufeles is referring to liachar after shenitna arosha. If you put the cloak or this garment over your head, higbia shifuleo al ksefa. If you pull up the bottom part so it shouldn't get dirty or trip on the ground with this, and you pull it up over your shoulders. So if you go out in this fashion, you're pulling it up all the way. That's not called wearing it. So if it's munachas al ksefo, so yosef betalas mekufelas munachas lo al ksefo, if it's folded up over your shoulders in this fashion, the Shabbos, on Shabbos day, that's not called wearing it, and therefore you chayev chatas. A person does this, ein zo derech malbush, Rashi says, and therefore that's carrying. Tani Nami Yochav, we have a brayis in support of the statement that Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef said in the name of Yochanan, sochrei ksus hayotzim metalisos mekupolos umunochos al ksefa mishabbos. If people who sell clothing, if they go out on Shabbos with their garments folded up in this fashion, they don't want to get them dirty on the ground, Rashi says, therefore if they fold it up in this way over the shoulders, chayav mechatas, that's not allowed, it's carrying, and therefore you chayav mechatas. And it's not only velo sochrei ksus bovadamu, it wasn't only for these people that sell clothing that they're not allowed to go out with these garments in this fashion, elokol adam, and nobody's allowed to go out like this. So why did it say sochrei talisos? Why does it tell us these people, so quick sus, Ella, Shadakun, Shomokun, Los, Kach, because it was common for them to go out in the summer. They were wearing some of the new stuff from their store to show it off to people, and they didn't want to get it dirty, so they would fold it up over their shoulders. That's not allowed. That's called carrying, not wearing. Likewise, the Brisa says, V'chenvani, Yotzi, B'mos, Hatzurun, Lobesadino, if a storekeeper, a chenvani, would go out on Shabbos into a public area and he was carrying in his garment these money that he had tied into the garment in some way. It was bundled into the garment in some way. This is also not called the normal way of wearing it, chayev chatas. This would be also carrying these coins and it would be chayev chatas. Lo chenvani b'vad amru. It wasn't only for the chenvani, the storekeeper, that's not allowed to go out like this. Nobody's allowed to go out like this. El kol adam. Everybody has the same prohibition. So why did it mention storekeepers? El Shadako Shulchan Vani Lasitzkach. Because this was a common practice that the storekeeper would be the one that would go out this way, because who else would go out with money like this? So therefore it gave us the common usage, but it's also for anybody. Finally, the Brisa says, Vaharatonim. What are these ratonim? So Rashi says this is the name of a place, Al Shemokum. Tosa says, no, the word ratonim comes from the word harahatonim, people that run. And that's the Rabbeinu Chananel has rotsim, and others have this gear, so we have rotsim, people that run, in other words, they're messengers of some sort, so they are allowed to go out, haratanim, yotzin, bisudorin, shal kisveim. They are allowed to go out, others have the gear, so we have haratanim, hayotzin, bisudorim, afilu, the Gros says, afilu, mekupol, even if they're folded up. So these kerchiefs, as opposed to these full garments from before, these kerchiefs, they would be allowed to fold up over their shoulders. They would be like scarves, and you're allowed to go out like that. And it wasn't only the ratonim bovad, lo ratonim bovad amu. It wasn't just these ratonim, these messengers, or these people that came from this place called raton. So they were allowed to go out this way. Everybody was allowed to go out this way. El kol adam. So why did it mention these people specifically? El shadaku shavatanim lasis b'kach. It was very common that these people would go out this way, either because that was the custom in that place, like Rashi says, or because they were messengers. They were constantly going at a fast pace, and therefore they didn't want to trip up. So therefore they were allowed to keep them folded. That was the way they normally went like this on a weekday as well. Amar Yehuda, Maisa Shoya, he tells us exactly one time this happened with such a kerchief. Maisa Behurkinus Benosho Rabbi Elezer Ben Hurkinus. Tells us a story that happened to Hurkinus, who was the son of Elezer, who was the son of Hurkinus. So the grandson was named after the grandfather. In any event, Shiyatza B'Suda Shaksev B'Shabbos, he went out with such a Suda on Shabbos, which we just said you're allowed to do. It's not considered a carrying, that's a normal way of Levisha. But he was concerned that maybe it would fall off and he would come to carry it. So what did he do? Elor Shinimo Keruchalo B'Yetzbo. He kept a string tied around his finger, so if it fell off, it would still be attached to him, and therefore it wouldn't be carrying. He wouldn't come to pick it up and carry it. It would remind him, and he wouldn't go and carry it. However, when the rabbis heard that he did this, they said, Amru, it wasn't necessary. Even if you don't have this string tied around you, there is no problem. You're allowed to wear it in this fashion. How do we paskin? Dorish Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista, Mishmei Rav Chista, Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista said the name of his father, Rav Chista, halacha, the halacha is, even though you don't have this string tied around your finger, you are allowed to go out like this with this sudar on Shabbos folded up over your shoulders. Ulo iklo bei Asi Barhini. Ulo once went to the house of Asi Barhini. And bo mine. And while he was there, the Talmidim asked him the following shaila. Mahu lasos marzev b'shabbos. Are you allowed to like make a marzev? Now, marzev, we said previously, is like a gutter. So here it means to pull up, Rashi says, your clothing in such a way that you're creating these furrows in the clothing. And they would do this with some sort of a string. The Vilna Gaon brings down from the Rambam that it wasn't with strings. They were just folded up in a certain way. In any event, are you allowed to make this furrow in your clothing to pull it up on Shabbos or not? Amalhu. So that's what they asked Ula. And he told them, no, Rabbi Loi said, also last was Ma'ariz b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to go and make this furrow in your garments, this thing that looks like a gutter, on Shabbos. My Ma'ariz, what exactly is this Ma'ariz? So Amar Zera, Kisei Bavliyosa. It is this thing that is known as Kisei Bavliyosa. Rashi says, as I've told you, Shemesalkim Bigdeim in the Oretz, they would pull up their clothing from the floor, Kishen Aruchim, if it was very long, the Kovlin Osan, and they would fold it up, Klape Mala, towards the top, and umachzik nosanai dechutin, they would somehow keep it in this way via certain strings or threads. V'hainu kimin kiss, and it was like a kiss, kimo marziv, like a gutter. So this was something that you weren't allowed to do on Shabbos. Rav Yirmiyahu havi yosef kamei Rav Zeira. Rav Yirmiyahu once went to Rav Zeira. He was sitting and learning in front of Rav Zeira, and he asked him about these types of marziv. Are you allowed to do this? So Amalei, he told him, Hochamai, if you were to fold it in this way, is this allowed? Amalei osu. So Rav Zeira told him, it's osu. Hochamai. Then Rav Yirmiyahu said, well, if I fold it in this way, is it allowed? And he told him, Amalei osu. Rav Zeira said again, you're not allowed to do this. What's the reason? Amar Papa, Nekot hai klola biyodach. Hold on to this rule with your hand. In other words, take this to the bank. This is the reasoning behind this din of Marzev. Kol adaite l'lachanufe. If your intention is to fold it up so it shouldn't get dirty, the Vilna Gaon brings down that we're concerned over here. Maybe it's going to rip on the floor or it's going to get dirty. So therefore, you want to fold it up. So then, that's not the normal way of wearing it, so then it's osur. However, Kol Dehlis knows, if this is somehow going to make it more beautiful, this is going to make it more decorative to have these furrows, then shari, then that's allowed, that's not a problem. Maisa Shahaya, Kihad Rav Shisha, Bered the Ravidi, Rav Shisha Bered the Ravidi, what did he do? Misnoa B'Sadino Hava, he would go and make these furrows. That was the way he would do this on a weekday, and therefore, that was done for beautification purposes, and you're allowed to do this. Mark continues and says, Kosser of Dimi, when Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Omer, he said, Pamachas Yotzer Rebbe Lusoda, one time Rebbe went out to the fields on Shabbos, Vayushnei Tzidei Taliso Munocha Aksepo, and he had folded up his talis, a little bit like we wear our talis, as he folded it over the two sides that go down, and to the right and to the left, he folded it over his shoulder. So he was walking with one of the Talmidim, Omer Lafon of Yeshua ben Zeruz. Yeshua ben Zeruz was going with him, and who was Yeshua ben Zeruz? He was the son, Ben Chomov, the father-in-law of Reb Meir. In any event, he said to Rebbe, if you carry your garment in this fashion, if you wear your garment in this fashion, it's carrying. Bezu, lo chiev Reb Meir chatos, wouldn't Reb Meir in this situation bin mechayev chatos? That's the way Rashi understands. It's loshon bismia. Wouldn't Reb Meir bin mechayev chatos? Others say that, no, Reb Meir would not have been mechayev chatos in this situation, but he would have said that you'd be also to do this. It's a din derabanan. In any event, he questioned Rebbe, how was Rebbe allowed to do this? So Rebbe says back to him, Amalei, Dictate Rav Meir Ad Khan was Meir so particular in this situation to not allow me to fold my clothing in this fashion while I'm wearing it? So he said, no, if that's what Rav Meir said, Shulsha Rebbe Taliso. So he let it down. He wouldn't do something against what he had heard Rav Meir said you're not allowed to do. He also, Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said the following, Omar, he said, no, you have the names of the people wrong. It wasn't Lo Yeshua ben Zeruz Habit. It wasn't Yeshua ben Zeruz. Who was it that told Rabbi? El, it was Yeshua ben Kifusai. It was Yeshua ben Kifusai. Who was he? Hayachasano Shel Rabbi Akiva. He was the son-in-law of Rabbi Akiva. And he said to Rabbi, Omar Bezul Lo Chiev, Rabbi Akiva Chatos. Wouldn't Rabbi Akiva have been Chayev Chatos in this situation? Like Rashi said, Loshem Bismio, like we said, that it wouldn't be a Chiev Chatos, but at least in this of the Rabbanan. So Rabbi, how can you do this? So I'm low. So Rabbi said to him, oh, if Dik Rabbi Akiva Ad Khan, was really Rabbi Akiva so medactic to not allow me to fold the garment over my shoulders? But if that's the case, so Shilsha Rabbi Taliso. So he let it down. He wouldn't wear it if he heard that Rabbi Akiva said you can't do that. Finally, Gemara concludes, it says, Kiyosra of Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. When Rav Shmuel came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda said, Omar, Nishalitmar, no, Chas Hashem, the Rebbe did these things wrong, and that he then stopped doing it. But they asked Rebbe, are you allowed to do this? And Rebbe didn't know this, and the other people said, this is what Rebbe Meir said, but this is what Rebbe Akiva said. He says, oh, that's what they said, then we'll follow their opinion. We start the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Harochets b'mei ma'ora u'b'mei tveria. If a person goes and washes himself in a mei ma'ora, Rashi explains mei ma'ora is mei mikveh makura. This is some sort of a enclosed mikveh that was in a mountain, in sort of a cave, which was cham, it was heated up. Vein chom u'yotze, and the heat doesn't go out from there. V'dafko cham in nokah, I was specifically talking here about hot. Mishum hochik toni arochets d'yevet. That's why you're not allowed to do this l'chachila, that's why it uses the lashon of b'dyevet. Again, we point out many times that since this Mishnah was written, there was subsequently additional gzeros that the Chachamim added that say we don't bathe at all on Shabbos, not in hot water and not even in cold water. In any event, the Mishnah tells us if somebody went, b'dyevet, and went and washed themselves in this Mei Ma'ara or in the Mei Tveria or the hot springs of Tveria, so in this situation, then he stopping and he dries himself off, afilu b'eser aluntios, aluntios are towels, and even if he dried himself off with 10 towels, the Chiddush over here, as the Gemara will explain, is that each of these towels is going to have only a minimal amount of water. Now, we're not interested here in carrying, we're not interested here in anything other than squeezing these towels out from the water that's inside of them. So even though he dried himself off with 10 towels, lo yivyena b'yod, he's not allowed to carry them home with him. Again, Rashi points out, there's an Erev here, so we're not concerned about that he's carrying, but we're concerned that, well, he'll carry this towel, he'll forget himself, and he'll squeeze it out. So even though there are 10 towels, that was the Gemara who tells us the Chiddush, even though there are 10 towels, each towel has only a minimal amount of water in it, and the likelihood of him wanting to squeeze it out is very rare. Nevertheless, the rabbi said, lo yivyena b'yod, you're not allowed to go carry it home with him, because he may come to squeeze it out. And vice versa. About asar b'nei adam, if there are 10 people there, and even though mistavkin yaluntisachas, they're all using the same towel, that towel is going to be soaking wet, and they're using it to dry themselves, p'neim yedem ragleim, they're washing their hands, their face, and their feet. Rashi points out, Urcha de Milson, okay, just telling us the common way, they actually could dry off their entire body with these towels. Nevertheless, in this situation, Mavin also be other. They're allowed to carry it home. Rashi explains because we're not concerned here that they're going to forget themselves and squeeze it out because there are 10 people there and they'll remind each other. One will remind the other. Then we tell that you're allowed to go and anoint yourself and you're allowed to massage your body with this oil on Shabbos. We'll see. You have to do it specifically in this order, the opposite of the normal way of doing it. Avolomis amlin, but you're not allowed to go do this very, very strongly. Misamlin means to work at it, to really do a very, very strong type of a massage. And likewise, avolomis garin, you're not allowed to take a certain kli, a certain utensil that used to go and scrape the skin, and they used to do this, and you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos as well. And the concern is that it's uvda d'chol, it looks too much like a weekday activity. That's why you can't do these things. Likewise, it tells us, Ein Yordin le Kordima. You're not allowed to go down to a certain river known as the Kordima River. The Gemara will discuss why you can't do this, because you're going to slip, and therefore you may come to dirty yourself and you wash off your clothing. That's one explanation. Another explanation will be it's like there's quicksand over there, and it'll take a lot of people to have to pull you out. In any event, you're not allowed to go down to this river Kordima on Shabbos. Likewise, Vein Osin ba'piktuvizin. You're not allowed to go and take an emetic, serum of epicac. You're not allowed to go and take something that will apik, make you throw out the zin, the food that you took in. So you can't take an emetic on Shabbos. Vein ma'atzvin eskotun. You're not allowed to go and straighten out the bones of a child. We'll see this is talking about the vertebral column. This is called the backbone of the child. Vein ma'atzvin eskotun. You're not allowed to go and take care of a broken bone. You're not allowed to go and put it into a cast of some sort to straighten out the bone. We'll see, the Gemara will say that you are allowed to do this. And misha nifriko yod v'raglo, if somebody has a dislocated hand or a foot, so lo yitrofein bitzoni, you're not allowed to go and beat it. Yitrofein is like with a scrambled egg. You're not allowed to go and stir it vigorously in cold water. However, but you can wash in the normal way. And nu vim nisrapi nisrapi, and the dislocation gets put back in because of your washing it in this way. That's allowed. And we said a lot of things here in the Mishnah. Let's look at it in the Gemara. First of all, we start off, we say, Tani Mei Ma'ara. Says, Mei Ma'ara, to teach us, Dumyo de Mei Tveria, that they're both hot springs. They're both hot. The Mei Ma'ara is also hot water, and that's why it said B'di'evit. As I said, you're allowed to, you're not supposed to do this L'chachila. It's only B'di'evit after the fact that we're talking about. So it's Dumyo de Mei Tveria. Just like the hot springs of Tveria, so too this cave water that we're referring to is also hot. And it uses this lashon of arochets, therefore b'di'evet in l'chatchila. No, it's only after the fact that we're talking about, but l'chatchila one shouldn't do this. Miklal, the implication here is, we turn to the Amud Beis, the lishtatev kol gufo, to go and rinse off your entire body, not to go take a bath, but like to shower, to wash off part of your body, afilu l'chatchila shapidami, you could do this in the hot water. So whose opinion is this? Money. To use hot water on Shabbos, whose opinion is this? The Gemara says Rabbi Shimon, this is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. As we've discussed previously, the Tanya. The opinion of Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that a person is not allowed to go and wash off his body, not with hot water, not with cold water. Rabbi Shimon is matir with either hot water or with cold water. Oh, this is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. In review, there's a compromise position. Bechamanos is with hot water, you can't. However, Bitzoni Motu, he says with cold water, you can. So these are the three opinions. And Rabbi Shimon is the Makel opinion that says you're allowed to do this with hot water. Again, as I pointed out, that's not the minhag today. Our minhag is that we don't wash our entire bodies with hot water or even with cold water, although we are allowed to use part of your other ragla. We can wash our faces and our hands. If you have previously warmed water, you can do that. And if you don't, you can do it with cold water. Then the Mishnah is quoted, V'nistapik afil b'eser al m'toyos. He said that the person is allowed to dry himself with these 10 towels, but he can't carry them back home. We're concerned he's going to squeeze them out. So the Gemara says, Reisha Ravusa Kamashulan, Vesefer Ravusa Kamashulan. As I pointed out, each of these statements that one person using 10 towels or 10 people using one towel has a Chiddush involved. What's the Chiddush? As we said, Reisha Ravusa Kamashulan, the Chiddush and the Reisha that one person using 10 towels can't go carry them home. Even though there's very little water, if he dried himself up with 10 towels, each towel is going to be very, very little dampness to it. Nevertheless, Kivin Lachadu, since he's by himself, he may forget himself and squeeze it out, therefore he can't do this. And the revus of the seifa, revus of kamashul, and the chiddush of the seifa is as follows. If 10 people are using the same towel, it's going to be soaking wet. Even if it's a dry towel originally, if the 10 people use it, it's going to be very wet. And there certainly should be a concern that you're going to squeeze it out. But no, keeping the rabbinin, since there are 10 people over here, as soon as somebody were to come to start to squeeze it out a little bit, matkirei ahad, they each would remind the other, hey, you're not allowed to do that, and therefore they could take the towel home and hang it up. Tanur Rabban, we learned in the Braisa, Mistapik Odom Balundis, Umanicha Bechalon. A person is allowed to go and dry himself off with this alundis, with this towel, and then put it in the chalon of the bathhouse. So put it in either the window or some sort of a cubby in the near the wall, Rashi says, of the bathhouse. Veloyim Serena Lo Yorin. But he's not allowed to go give this towel to the bathhouse attendants. Why? Mimesha Chashudim Al Osudav, because we're very concerned that these people have a interest in making sure there are enough towels available for everybody, and if they don't have enough towels, they're going to squeeze it out on Shabbos. These people were not the most erlich of people, and therefore they were chosher. They were suspected that they would do something wrong. So therefore, don't give it to the al-yarin. Don't put a milchshol in front of them. Rav Shimon Omer, mistapeg be'aluntis ha'achas, a person is allowed to dry himself up with one towel, so he can bring it to his house. Again, against what we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon holds that, no, we're not concerned that one person, if he's using this towel for himself, he's going to come and squeeze it out. Amalei Abayla Rav Yosef, Hilchosamai, how do we paskin? This is allowed or not? So Amalei, Har Rabbi Shimon, Har Rabbi, Har Shmuel, Har Yochanan. We have four people. This opinion of Rabbi Shimon, opinion of Rabbi, also Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, they all paskin that you're allowed to do this. Where do we see this? Rabbi Shimon, Hodi Amar. That's what we just said. Rabbi Shimon said that you're allowed to dry yourself off with one towel and carry it home. We're not concerned that you're going to squeeze it out. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Where do we find that Rabbi holds that way as well? Rabbi. Where do we see Rabbi? The Tanya. Rabbi said in the Braisa, I'm a Rabbi. Kishayinu lemeidim Torah, so Rabbi Shimon b'Tekoa. When we were learning by Rabbi Shimon, this is Rabbi Shimon b'Yochai. We were learning by Rabbi Shimon in Tekoa. That's where he lived. Hayinu malin shemen vialuntis michotzel lekag. We would go to the bathhouse and we would go bring the oil with us and our towels with us, and we would go. We wouldn't carry it in a public way. So we went from the chotzer to the gag, or migag lekarp. If we carried it in a way that was allowed to be carried, ad shayinu magin eitzel mayan, and we went until we reached to the spring where we would wash ourselves. Shayinu rochatzim bo. So mistama, he would allow them to go bring the towels there, and then he would allow them to go take the towels home. How do we know that it wasn't with 10 people? Like we said in the Mishnah, maybe if there are a lot of people, that's why. So Tosus brings down, because you're not allowed to go to the bathhouse with more than one person. A Rebbe can have one person assisting him, but it's pasnish to have a lot of people see the Rebbe in a state of undress. So therefore, in the stomach, there's only one person, and that one person took the towel home. It's pasnish for the Rebbe to take the towel home. So he would allow the one person to take the towel home, and therefore we see from here that Rebbe allowed one person to carry the towel home, just like Rebbe Shimon. Where do we find that Shmuel passing this way as well? Shmuel, the Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, because Yehuda said name is Shmuel. Stopping on the Bialuntis or Mevi Abiyadul Soch Bay. So a person can use a towel and bring it back home himself. Oh, Shmuel passing like this as well. And where do you find Rav Yochanan saying this? Rav Yochanan, the Amar Ruchi Abarab, Rav Yochanan, Ruchi Abarab, saying name Rav Yochanan, Halacha. Also, Mistopic or the Melotus person will have to dry himself up with a towel, or maybe a bailus hook peso, and bring it back to his house. So, all of these two Tanoim, Rav Shimon and Rebbe, and the two Amorim, Shmuel and Rav Yochanan, all paskin that a person is not concerned that he's going to squeeze it out and can bring it back home. Gemara says, really? Umiyam Rav Yochanan Hachi? Did Rav Yochanan really say this? Om Rav Yochanan Halachi Sam Mishnah. Our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah, and normally Rabbi Yochanan passes like a Stam Mishnah. So, granted, you can have a machlokis over here and argue with our Mishnah, but usually when it's a Stam Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan passes like it. So, how come over here he doesn't pass like our Stam Mishnah, Tzan, then he's stopping a few Besser Aluntios, Lo Yivim Yodo. An individual who's even using 10 towels shouldn't carry the back. We're concerned that he's going to squeeze it out. That's a Stam Mishnah. So, how come Rabbi Yochanan doesn't passkin like this? He's the famous author of the statement that we passkin like a Stam Mishnah throughout Shas. Shmuel says, no, because he had a different attribution over here. How ben chachinai masdila? He said that our Mishnah should have concluded with the words divrei ben chachinai. It wasn't a Stam Mishnah. It was a Das Yochid. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan doesn't passkin like this Das Yochid in our Mishnah. We continue. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. Another statement that Rav Chiya bar Abba made in the name of Yochanan. Ho yori mevi'in balori noshim lebebani. The bathroom attendants, they're allowed to go bring these balore noshim, these special towels that the women used to wear, and bring them to the bathhouse. However, this would be a problem of carrying ubavad. She is kasabhem roshim berubim. They have to wear them to put them over their heads and over most of their body. And in this way, this would be not a problem of carrying. This would be a wearing of them. Likewise, sechachnisa. What is this sechachnisa? So Rashi explains, this is sudor godol, a large type of a kerchief, shetolu lo ben ksefo, that's around his shoulders, virosho, and his head, otupo, and he's covered up with it in this fashion. Vilna Gaon brings down over here, the Rambam has a different explanation. It says, pirush, katan shin mechase rosho virubo. It says it's small, that doesn't cover up the head, but and the body. But in any event, this sechachnisa, tzorech lekashe shnei roshim lamata, you have to tie it towards the bottom in order that it shouldn't fall off. And this way, it wouldn't be a problem of carrying. What does it mean, tie it off towards the bottom? So, Amar Chiya bar Abba, Amar Yochanan. This is where Chiya bar Yochanan said another statement, lamata means mikseifayim, it means below, the shoulders. So you have to tie it in this way so that it won't fall off. Amalu Rav levenei mechuzah, Rav said to the bnei mechuzah, he was the rabbi in that town, and he told the people in his town, Kimavriso mani livnei chelo, when unfortunately the goyim come into town and they demand that you service their soldiers and you bring the soldiers their clothing on Shabbos. So what should you do? Shabivubu lamatanik seifayim, go and tie it and wear it down over your shoulders. So this way, when you have to carry it to them, it won't be carrying, you'll be wearing it, and this way it's allowed. You're not going to be mechal Shabbos. Then we quote the Mishnah which says, Sochen u'mashmashim. We said that you first go anoint your body and then you can rub it, you massage the oil in on Shabbos. So Gemara says, Tana Rabbanon, Sochen u'mashmashim b'vnei meyayim b'Shabbos. You're allowed to go and anoint and then rub in the oil on your belly area on Shabbos. But you can't do it in the normal way that you do it on a weekday because it looks like over the chol. So what do you do? Hechi Ovid. So Gemara says, Rabbi Chama bar Chanina Omar, first do the anointing, and then Yachakach Mimashmish, and then do the rubbing it in. And Rabbi Yochanan says, Omar, Soch Umimashmish Vasachas. Do them together. Apparently, the normal way was to do first the rubbing and then apply the oil. And here you do it in the other direction, the other way. You do first the oil and then the rubbing it in, and that is allowed, or to do them simultaneously. Then we said, Avolomis Amlin, but the Mishnah said, don't do it very, very strongly. Don't really work at it. So Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Yochanan. Another statement Rav Chiya bar Abba said in the name of Yochanan, Oshalam Od Bekarkyo Sisa Shal Diomsis. You're not allowed to go and stand in the mud of this river known as Diomsis. Now, the Lagiris on the side in Rashi says it had another name from Yeshaya, which is called Dormaskis. And that's also the Radak opinion. In any event, it's either Diomsis or Dromaskis. That was the name of this river, and this mud in this river had medicinal benefits, because it makes you better, it heals you, it strengthens you, and therefore you're not allowed to go do this on Shabbos. This medicinal benefit, however, is only for 21 days. If you just say the name of Rav, that it doesn't have this benefit all year long, it only has 21 days, and that includes Shavuos time. So the Gemara asks, does it mean Shavuos is the beginning or the end? They asked in the base medrash, ask lahaygisa or lahaygisa. We delete the word bidchila, but it really means that's the question. Does Shavuos start the count of the 21 days, or does Shavuos end the count of the 21 days? So we bring right for the following. Toshma, we learn, Domer Shmuel, Shmuel said, Kulu Shakyoni. All of these drinks that have medicinal benefits to them, they only really work, Midivcha, Divcha means Pesach, Zevach, the Pesach, Ad Atzarta, until Shavuos, Malu. These types of drinks that were very healthy drinks, so Shmuel was a doctor, and he said they work only from Pesach until Shavuos. So therefore, it must be that Shavuos time is the end, because these drinks, Mestama, are just like the benefit of this river, the Yamsis, so Mistama, the Gemara wants to bring a raya that Shavuos is the end of the period of time. The Gemara says lav dafka. Dil mahasam hu dekama dekarir alma maali. There, maybe because the world is still cooler at that point of time, and these drinks work only when it's cooler outside. Once it gets too hot, it doesn't work. But avahacha mishum havlu. But because the river works on a different mechanism, it works actually with heat. It works with havla, and therefore kivon dechamim alma, and then when the world is hotter, tvei mali, it maybe works better. So maybe Shavuos is the start. So you can't bring me any raya from here whether Shavuos is the start or Shavuos is the end. Gemara continues, says Amar Rechabo. Rechabo tells us chamra de prugisa, the wine that comes from this area known as prugisa. That is a place, Rashi tells us, and they were known for making a very, very good type of a wine. As well as Umaya, the Diomsis, and the water that came from this Diomsis, Kipchu Aseres HaShvatim Yisrael. That caused Klai Yisrael to lose the Aseres HaShvatim. They went off the Derech because of these physical pleasures of this very, very good wine and this medicinal properties of the Diomsis. So it led them to a Gashmish type of a lifestyle, and it led them astray, and this caused the Galus of the Aseres HaShvatim. Maisa Shahoya, Rabbi Elazar ben Aroch. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Aroch was an unbelievably great Tana, as the Gemara is going to tell us. He was the star pupil of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai died, he said, everybody should come to me to learn. I'm now replacing Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. But he left where everybody else was, and unfortunately, nobody came to him. And therefore, we'll see that he lost his learning because he didn't have the chavrusa shaft. He didn't have the kinship with his fellow Tamidim and with his chavrusas. And that is a terrible thing for a person to rely upon himself only to learn Torah. You really need to learn b'chavrusa. You need to learn with others. In any event, Rabbi Elazar ben Aroch, ikel l'hosam, he went to this area where the prugisa and the omsis met. So, imshich basrayu, and he was drawn after them. He became, unfortunately, accustomed to them. And iakar tamudi, and he lost a lot of his Torah learning. Kihadar, when he went back from that area, also kam l'mikra b'sifra. So they gave him an aliyah, the shkayach, he came back. And they gave him an aliyah, bo l'mikra, and he was supposed to read, achodesh azeluchem. The Psukim HaChodesh HaZeluchem, this month should be for you, the Rosh Chodesh. So Omar, HaChareish Haya Libam. Instead, he mispronounced each of the words. So he, instead of saying HaChodesh, he said HaChareish. And instead of saying Lochem, he said Libam. In other words, he couldn't even read a Pasuk in Chumash. So Baruch Rachmonon Rachme Alei. The rabbis realized Nebuch that he had deteriorated so much, and they all davened to HaKodesh Baruch Hu that he should have mercy on him. Baruch Rachme. They begged the Kodesh Baruch to have mercy on him, v'hod Talmud, and his Torah returned to him. And this is what we learned in the Mishnah, where it says, Rabbi Nahoy Omer, Rabbi Nahoy says, have a go l'mokum Torah. A person, when he goes into exile, should go into exile to a place of Torah. V'al tomar shitovu acharecha. And don't assume that the Torah is just going to follow you. When you go and move, so make sure you move to a place of Torah. Don't go to a Netherlands and to a wilderness and assume that the Torah will come to you. That your friends are what make you really learn Torah well. By the shakel v'taya, the back and forth. If you say something and somebody says, hey, that's wrong, so you'll know that it's wrong. Otherwise, you're not going to know that it's wrong. And in addition, there'll be no schal tishayin, and don't rely upon yourself. Rashi also points out that they would learn different mesachtos, so if you didn't remember something in this Masechta, you could go to your friend who's in the midst of learning that Masechta and question him, and he'd be able to give you the answer. Furthermore, Tana, his name wasn't really Rabbi Naroi. Lo, Rabbi Naroi Shemo. His name wasn't Rabbi Naroi. That was a nickname, as we'll see. What was his real name? Elaru Nechem Yishmo. Or others say, Rami Lo, Rabbi Elazar ben Aroch Shemo. This was our Rabbi Elazar ben Aroch. The Lama Nikro Shemo, Rabbi Naroi. Why was he called Rabbi Naroi? Shemanir Einei Chachomim Balacha. Because he was so brilliant, he was so bright, that he showed everybody the light of the Torah. In other words, he was such a great Talmud Chacham. So again, Rabbi Elazar ben Aroch was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. But because he didn't follow this advice for a period of time, so he lost certain of his Torah learning and had to beg Shemayim, so to say, to give it back to him. And there's the importance of being in a place where they learn Torah. Then Mishnah said, "Avalom is garvin," but you're not allowed to go and scrape the skin. Tana Rabbanan, "Ein garvin migreres b'Shabbos." You're not allowed to take a special utensil known as a migreres that they used to scrape the skin with. And Reb Shimon Gamliel says, "Omer." However, that's the normal scraping of the skin. It's like Uvdu Dechol, like you do on a weekday. But if you have mud, if you have excrement on your skin, so then go Re Kedaku. Then you'll have to scrape it in the normal way, because there's technically nothing wrong with the scraping other than Uvdu Dechol. But Uvdu Dechol isn't when it's muddy or dirty. So here, they nechoshesh. Here, go Re Kedaku, they nechoshesh. You'll have to go and rub this mud off, because it clearly looks like it's rubbing off for mud and not for some typical of the whole usage that this kli was normally used for. Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda of the le'ime migrato de kaspa. Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda's mother made for him a special keli that he would go and scrape with on Shabbos that was made out of silver. This way, it was a special keli for Shabbos. It shouldn't look like it's of the whole. Then we said in the Mishnah, "Ein yordin leKurdima v'gomer v'chule." You don't go down to this river Kurdima. Why not? My time, as we said, mishum pika, because we're concerned that a person might fall. Rashi explains. Tit shall also nor machlik. It's very slippery over there. The mud is very slippery. Or big the other nisharim b'mayim kishu nofel, and your clothing is going to get all wet when you fall. V'asi the schita, and we're concerned that you may come to do schita. So I pointed out, Rabbeinu Chananel has a little bit different. He says that there's a very thick mud over there. V'mibaka v'tavabo, and if you'd fall into this mud, any yochel laloson achimiskatzin harbin neyadim umalim osom misham. That this is like a quicksand, and that many people would be required to pull you out. Otherwise, you get stuck in this mud. So that's why don't go down there. It's dangerous. Then we said in the Mishnah, "Veinosin apiktvizin b'Shabbos." You're not allowed to go take an emetic on Shabbos. You're not allowed to go and take something that will make you throw up. So Amar Rabbi Rechana, Amar Yochanan, Loshanu l'Basan. That's using serum of Ipecac. That's using some sort of a medicine to go make you throw up. Avol biyad, but to put your fingers down your throat to induce vomiting, that is technically mutter. However, the Braisa says otherwise. Tanya, we're learning a Braisa. Rav Nechemya Omer, no. Ach b'cholos, so you're not allowed to go and induce vomiting even on a weekday. Why? May have said Oakland. Why would you want to do this? The Romans, the Greeks used to go and do this in order to be able to be more gluttonous. They would have this huge meal and they were stuffed, but they wanted to eat more. So they'd vomit and then they'd have plenty of room left. So this is something that is terribly wrong. And Rav Nechemya says, never mind on Shabbos, you shouldn't do this. On a weekday, you're not allowed to do this as well. It's a hefset Oakland. You're wasting. It's about tashlis. Then the Mishnah says, "Vein ma'atzin es hakotan." You're not allowed to go and straighten out the bones of a child. So the Gemara says, "I'm a Rabbi Rechana, I'm a Yochanan." Another statement in the name of Rabbi Rechana, I'm a Yochanan. Lafufe yinuka, to go and swaddle a child with Shabbos, that's allowed. Shapir dami, that's not a problem. Even though you're straightening out the bones. The Gemara says, "Vanantan ein ma'atzin." Our Mishnah said, "You're not allowed to go straighten out the bones." So what's going on? So the Gemara says, "No, it depends what type of bones." Hotsom bechumre shidra. Our Mishnah, which says you're not allowed to go straighten out the bones, is talking about the backbone, the vertebrae. That you're not allowed to straighten out. Why not? Because the mechzik bone, that looks like you're building, so to say. However, just swaddling a baby to keep the baby's limbs straight, that's allowed. Then the Mishnah's quote, it says, "Ein marzirin hesashever." You're not allowed to go and take care of a broken bone. So Gemara says, "Really?" Amar Rabbi Chana Bagta, Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Chana from Baghdad. That's one explanation. Others say he was a Baki in Agadita. That's why he's known as Bagta. So he said in the name of Shmuel the following. We turn to the Amud Beis. Halacha machzirin hesashever. He says, that's wrong. The halacha is that you're allowed to go and take care of a broken bone. You can set a broken bone. That's not a problem. You can put it in a cast. You put it in a splint. Rabbi Barachana iklu Pumbedisa. One time Rabbi Barachana came to Pumbedisa from Eretz Yisrael, and he decided he wasn't going to share lo al lepirke the Rabbi Yehuda. And for whatever the reason, he said, I'm not going to share today the Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Shadre la'adodaya, Rabbi Yehuda was upset that this big Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Barachana, was not coming to a shir. He wanted to know, have him in the shir, because he could tell us a Torah from Eretz Yisrael. So he sent his servant, Adodalia, to go and bring him there. Shadril Adodalia, and he told him, Omale zil garbe, go take his clothing. It's like a collateral. And this way he'll have to come to the shir. Rashi says, kach bigdo hachiyavo, take his coat. So therefore he has to come to the shir to get his coat back. So ozil garbe, so this Adodalia took his coat. So now Rabbi Bechana has to come to the Beis Medrash. Also, he comes to the Beis Medrash, and he sits and listens to the learning. Ashikhe de Chodorish, and he heard them darshing in the Beis Medrash, Ein marzirin es hashever. Our Mishnah, that you're not allowed to go and set a broken bone on Shabbos. So Rabbi Bar Rav Chana says that's not correct. Amalei, he said, Hochi Omer Rav Chana Bakta, Omer Shmuel. No, this is in fact Halacha. Rav Chana Bakta said in the name of Shmuel that Halacha Machzir Nesashev, you are allowed to set a broken bone. So Rav Yehuda is very happy about this. Amalei said, Hochana Didon, Rav Chana Bakta is a Babylonian, for Shmuel Didon, and Shmuel is a Babylonian, and yet, Lo Shmieli, and yet we didn't know this. It took you coming from Eretz Yisrael to come tell us what the Dinim in Babel are, what the great Tamidei Chachamim in Babel say the Halacha is. And therefore he says, V'lav Bedina Graftich, wasn't I right in grabbing your clothing and making you come to the Beis Medrash? If you hadn't come to the Beis Medrash, we would have learned this Mishnah wrong. We would have had the wrong gear, so we would have had the wrong understanding, Halacha L'maisa. Finally, we might as well finish till the end of the parak already. It's early enough. He says, quote the Mishnah, Mishanifiko Yad V'chule, the person has a dislocation on his hand or his foot. We said you're not allowed to put it in cold water and vigorously massage it. However, we said you can do it in cold water. No, if it gets better, it gets better. Rav Avia, Havi Yosef came to Rav Yosef. One time Rav Avia was sitting in front of Rav Yosef, and Shanyalei Yodei, and unfortunately his fingers became dislocated, and he wanted to find out what you're allowed to do. So he asked his Rebbe, he asked Rav Yosef, am I allowed to do this? Amalei, Hachi Mai, can I do this? Is this allowed? So Rav Yosef said, no, Osir. Then he asked him, Hachi Mai, what about doing this? And he showed him. And again, Rav Yosef said, Amalei, Osir. No, meanwhile, Hachi Itvach Yodei, he did all these manipulations, and he undid his dislocation. Bottom line is, Rav Yosef asked him, Amalei, Maiti Balach, what were you thinking? Our Mishnah says, it's a famous Mishnah, you knew the Mishnah, Hatnan, Mishnah Nifrika Yodo Raglo, Yol Yitrufein Betzone. If somebody has a dislocation on his hand or his foot, he's not allowed to go scramble it. In other words, he's not allowed to go and vigorously rub it in cold water. So why were you asking me? It says, Avorochei Tzkedarki, you can wash it in the normal way, then Nisrapi Nisrapi. So why were you asking me all these things? You're allowed to do them. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to do them. So Rav Avia said, no, I had a very good reason to ask you. Amalei, he says, v'lo tanan, but we learned in our Mishnah, ein mazir nesashever, we learned in our Mishnah, you're not allowed to go set a bone if it's broken, but along came Amar Rav Chana Bakta, Amar Shmuel, we learned that Rav Chana Bakta said in the name of Shmuel, halacha mazir nesashever, you are allowed to, and then the Mishnah is incorrect. So I thought maybe O2 over here that the Mishnah is incorrect and you're not allowed to go and vigorously, the Mishnah says you're not allowed to vigorously go and undo a dislocation. I thought maybe that's incorrect also and you are allowed to undo this dislocation. So Amalei, Rav Yossi said to him, Kulu b'chada mechisa mechisinu, that what, it's all one thing, that once there's one mistake, everything else is mistaken as well? No. Hechadi et maritba, where Rav Chanan Baktor said in the name of Shmuel that the Mishnah is incorrect, so there, the Mishnah is incorrect. But Hechel Loitmar, where he didn't say that the Mishnah is incorrect, Loitmar, then we don't assume that the Mishnah is incorrect, and that doesn't apply. Hadron Lecha Chavis, Hadron Lecha Chavis, Hadron Lecha Chavis. With this, we conclude today's Shir and the 22nd Perek.